Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Getting into our Ask a Pastor segment, we do have Pastor Baldwin Mulenga joining us on the line. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Afternoon, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today, why do pastors avoid talking about spiritual burnout?
That's a very interesting topic that we have for today. Pastors, it's both a calling and a career. So for most of the people, when they are exhausted, they say they are saying no to God. I hope you're getting me out.
Say that again, Pastor.
Yes, I'm saying when the pastoral calling is both a calling and a career. So people have a mandate to God and an obligation to fulfill the calling that they have upon their lives. And also there's a career part, which is that you are employed, you're entitled to a salary and all those kind of things. So on the calling part, apart from the career, that makes pastors feel they shouldn't accept or even come to terms with the burnout, in that they see when they do so, they are failing God who has called them, because ministry is a higher calling. So most pastors will not even talk about burnout, or will not even admit, let alone even know, that they are burnt out.
So how do you define burnout? What is burnout, Pastor?
So in a layman's term, it's more or less a mental exhaustion that leads to negative attitudes towards work, life, and even personally yourself. This is what burnout is. You just have, it's a mental essence that you acquire at a particular point in time because you have exhausted yourself of resources. Because remember, one of the job or the activity that a pastor does is they give. By giving, I mean they give prayer, they give sermons, they give teachings. They don't know how to receive. They don't know how to be poured into. They don't know how to relax. Because imagine a pastor is on leave, and then someone calls them to say there's a funeral. The pastor will be obligated to leave their time for leave to attend that funeral.
Forgive me, Pastor. I don't know if the issue is on my side. Are you able to help us with the audio on your side? It sounds distorted and muffled a little bit.
Okay. How about now?
That's
am I better?
Much better. Much better. Thank you, Pastor. Go ahead. Continue, sir.
I think I've even lost the thought of what I was mentioning or talking about.
No, don't worry. Let's get into some of the aspects of this question, Pastor. You see, when we talk about spiritual burnout, I can imagine what burnout is. It's exhaustion, plainly put. But spiritual burnout, what exactly does that mean? You're spiritually exhausted?
So, like I mentioned again, remember, Jesus, throughout his life, he was given. He gave his hands to the nails. He gave his side to the spear. He gave his back to the cross. He gave his head to the crown. And so that is a mandate. Sometimes pastors also emulate that, but they don't remember or even capture that Jesus took moments to retire and even relax and just recuperate. Now, spiritual burnout is very real, in that when you grow in your ministry, the more you preach, sometimes even the whole Bible, you feel like it's not enough to preach from. You want to preach from something new because you feel like you've preached it all. That's why there's need for a pastor also to have a point in time where they should be poured into. There are some pastors, you know, just recently I was on a workers' meeting for ministers, and this is one of the things that we were talking about, where pastors have now come to terms with reading the Bible in order to make sermons, not reading the Bible for them to be self-edified. So they are now reading the Bible on event-driven basis. What am I going to preach about? Or it's a stewardship month, or it's a children's day, or it's a women's ministries day, or it's this. So they're tailoring, when they're reading the Bible, they have a certain bias. I need to tell them but they don't speak to their own issues that they are going through. And that is what causes spiritual burnout. You don't have anyone pouring into you, but you're pouring, meaning that you're getting exhausted or even, for lack of a better term, empty.
Yeah. Do we have any example of somebody in the Bible who was spiritually burnt out, who needed somebody to pour into them? Pastor, do we have a biblical example of somebody who was spiritually burnt out? Somebody who needed a minister of the gospel, who needed to be ministered to, somebody in scripture. I heard you say something about Jesus. I'm not quite sure if you were saying Jesus was spiritually burnt out. Is that what the pastor was saying?
I think Jesus learned to withdraw before that point, that breaking point.
All right. Then give us an example of somebody who was spiritually burnt out then.
Very good. A motif I can give off the cuff is a man by the name of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 19. The Bible says that Elijah was so exhausted. Remember, in a prior
take us
verse,
to the verse. Chapter, take us to the verse, Pastor. I want us to read it because I've heard people using this under very odd contexts. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 19. Yes.
Yes. Are you able to hear me?
I can hear you now, sir.
Yeah, I think the network is quite bad today.
Okay. Yes.
Are you there now?
I'm there, sir. I'm there. Tell us where in the chapter you're going to find Elijah spiritually burnt out.
So in the book of, First Kings. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. I think I referred to 2 Kings and like 1 Kings. So it says, and Ahab told Jezebel, I'm reading from verse 1, Elijah had what Elijah had done, also how he executed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So you can see that this man, just giving a bit of context, he had been exhausted.
Where do you get the exhaustion, sir? That's exactly what I want us to get to. Here we don't see exhaustion. We see a man who allows his fear to overpower his faith. The Bible says he was afraid. It doesn't say he was exhausted.
Where did that fear come from? Remember, he had already confronted the people, the prophets of Baal.
Right.
And proved them wrong that their God was not as strong
Absolutely.
As the God that he was worshiping.
Absolutely.
So where did the fear come from all of a sudden? It's because he was exhausted.
Where do we get that from, Pastor? I hear you say that, but I need you to take us to the scripture that will tell us that Elijah was exhausted and that exhaustion resulted in fear, because all that we see in this chapter, in this text, is fear, not exhaustion. So tell us where you get the exhaustion part.
So let the text give itself its explanation. So verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey. You can remember he ran the whole day and then he continued running for the whole day. Okay. This could mean from 6 to 6 or basically 24 hours. We don't know. He tried to move as far and as fast as possible from Jezebel, who wanted to kill him, into the wilderness and came and sat down under a
broom tree. Sorry. Again, you took a leap there and you left us behind. From this text, it doesn't give us how long he was running. Verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So you don't find it in this text that he ran the whole day and night.
Refer to verse 4. That's the one I was reading. Are you able
All
to
right.
read verse 4?
Verse 4 says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down on
it. That's the part which I was saying. That's the part which I was saying. The Bible says he walked or he ran the whole day. A day's journey.
It doesn't say that, Pastor. There's two things that are said there. Verse 3 speaks about him running for his life. It doesn't say he ran for a day's journey. It's verse 4 that tells us that the distance between where he was to where he was going was a day's journey. He says, while he himself went a day's journey, not running for a day.
That is sufficient time, of course, if you can agree with me, that he had taken for him to walk or even to get that as far and as fast away from Jezebel.
Absolutely.
And he sat under a tree.
Right.
What does it mean when sitting under a tree, he was exhausted and he prayed that he might die? You can already see now he's suicidal. Why does someone become to a place of suicidal? It's because people are tired. And this does not mean only men.
Okay. Can we agree, Pastor, that your conclusions of exhaustion
also means physical? Or you mean?
Can we agree that your conclusions of exhaustion are not biblical? They are logical. It is logical to conclude based on what the text says, but it is not true to say that it is what the text says.
We just read how he ran. Remember that he had prayed the whole day. Remember, he was even mocking the prophets to say, can you cry out loud? Maybe your God is not listening, or he's sleeping, or something in those lines. He is tired. And then thereafter, he had to chop off the men, the prophets who were praying, over 200. He had to chop off their heads.
Yeah.
If you've ever even slaughtered chickens, now these are human beings. Again, we're not going to get into the moral part of it, but we are saying this guy did that activity of killing or slaughtering these prophets who were false. That is also exhaustion. Thereafter, he runs a day's journey. He's still exhausted. That's why in verse 4, when he reached the broom tree, he was so exhausted mentally, physically. He said, please, let me die. He's the only person in the Bible who volunteers death.
No, that's not true. That's not true, sir. That's not true. Jonah also volunteered death. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is the actuality of the text and what we exegete from the text. I want to agree with you that he did run.
We're talking about a mental ascent where someone feels,
My question.
Are you able to hear me?
What I'm raising with you, Pastor, is what the text and what you conclude from the text. I agree with you that the text does say he ran for his life. Now, running for your life is in verse 4, verse 3.
Yeah.
Verse 3 concludes by saying, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And then verse 4 says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, there we're told about the length of the journey.
But remember, that length of the journey is quite significant and sufficient.
I am not disputing that. I am not disputing. I agree with you.
This is a guy also who hasn't slept from the previous encounter on Mount Carmel.
I'm okay with that, Pastor. I'm okay. Remember, what I want us to distinguish is what the text says and what we want to say from the text. I agree with you with what the text says. But it is a logical conclusion that you're deriving that all these things logically lead a natural person to exhaustion, to physical exhaustion. That's a logical conclusion. It's not a biblical representation. And I'm not disputing it being logical. It's perfectly logical, but it is not said by the text. It is the text that gives us reason to draw logical conclusions.
Okay. Yes. So what I'm trying to say is this person is exhausted. That's why he's resting. Because when you get to chapter 6, you can see the solution which he's given by the angel. Number one, he's told rest. After resting, he's given bread. Eat. Okay.
Pastor.
Why?
Pastor. Pastor. I'm not disputing what you're saying in its conclusion. What I want our listeners to be able to distinguish is that you are drawing a perfectly logical conclusion based on what the text says, but your conclusion is not represented in the text. The text does not say he was therefore exhausted. He gives us enough reason to conclude that he was exhausted. What I am going to ask, however, is, does physical exhaustion represent, mean you're spiritually exhausted?
It does not represent that, but it may lead to it. Because remember,
in the case of Elijah, you have given us a case study of Elijah. Yes. Was Elijah, therefore, spiritually exhausted? Because we have concluded he was physically exhausted, does that therefore mean a person who is physically exhausted is consequently spiritually exhausted? Is that what the pastor is saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It may lead to it because...
No, Pastor. We're talking about Elijah now. You gave us the example of Elijah.
It may lead to it, and in this case, it did lead to that because it was from the exhaustion that he had that actually made him even make wrong decisions. He volunteers to die. That's number one. But God in his graciousness, though he volunteers to die, he says, you're not going to die. He was taken up to heaven alive. That's a story for another day, though. But then, this is a person who has just confronted a whole kingdom, showed them the real and the power that God, Jehovah, has. But all of a sudden, he is scared of a threat of a human being, a queen in this regard, Jezebel. Why? It's because his reasoning is not there. The same analogy can also be used on Jesus. The Bible says after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says Satan came to tempt him. Why? Because he was at his weakest on the day number 40, if we may argue it like that. Satan couldn't have come on day number one. He still had the energy. His reasoning was okay. But you can see the connection which mental, physique, and state of mind has with spiritual exhaustion,
right,
as we are
right.
discussing today, or even
right.
spiritual burnout.
Right.
So when someone is physically
exhausted.
You know, unstable, exhausted,
right.
Or whatsoever, even their mental or spiritual state may not be given accordingly.
Okay.
Referring also Mark chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says Jesus, after having had been with the people for about 3 days in the wilderness, they're listening to him. He says, these people have been with me for 3 days and they have not eaten anything. Before he continues to preach thereafter, he gives them food to eat. He gave about 4,000 because there are two miracles where Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish. One was where he multiplied to 5,000 men. The other one was for 4,000. The one I'm referring to is that for 4,000. So you can see that even God knows and Jesus knows that there is a correlation between spirituality and physical, mental astuteness.
Okay.
So those two things work hand in hand. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus grew in strength,
in
which
wisdom
is physical,
and in strength.
In wisdom, and also
in favor
in,
of men
favor
and
God.
God
and man.
Yes.
So those show the four dimension of a holistic person. Sure.
Okay. So is that the reason, or perhaps let me ask you directly, what then is, if that is a spiritual burnout, then why do pastors avoid talking about it? If that's what it is,
because
why?
The burden, like I mentioned, for a pastor, there is two aspects to that, to the pastorate. There is a career, there's also a calling. A career is where you get paid, you have benefits of this and that. But then the calling is that which is proclaimed in the book of Jeremiah, the fire in the bones. I just can't shut up. I just feel this is what I have to do, irregardless of whatever. So now there is a certain notion that drives people that are in ministry. I being one of them, I know this, that maybe when I withdraw, I am not, I'm doing a disservice to God. It's like I'm saying no. I gave an example. If a pastor is on leave, in the middle, and then they heard that there was a funeral of such and such, or whatever it may be, a pastor may be obliged to leave or even to terminate that leave so they can attend that, but they are on leave. Actually, other pastors feel it is even offensive to go on leave. They feel they should not go on recess. So there is that kind of thing because they feel their calling is more or less like when they rest, they are in direct conflict with God.
Yeah.
So that is where the controversy comes in. In other businesses or careers, it's okay. An engineer can go and leave. You can't call him back. Yeah. He's done. When he tells you the vacation is done. But a pastor will be attending a funeral. A pastor will be preaching on a Sabbath while they are on leave. They will be doing weeks of prayer, but they are supposed to be on leave. Mm. That is what they do every day. So when they are on leave, they're supposed to be away from that. But they feel, but when I say no to this preaching engagement, maybe I can save a soul. Yeah. And so that distinction makes a pastor or a minister to feel like they have neglected not only the calling, but they have neglected the God who has given them that calling and assignment upon their lives.
So is it only pastors who suffer from spiritual burnout?
Not at all. Other people may and can. I think Elijah, although we may categorize him as a spiritual leader, but there are others who are in a category that they are being led or whatever, the elders and stuff, they may face that kind of challenge in their life.
So how does it happen with everybody else? Ordinary folk like myself, what would lead an ordinary Joe like me to be spiritually burnt out?
In a similar way, like I've mentioned, you feel like you have to do all the work all by yourself, and you may not need a replacement.
Are you all right, Pastor?
Yes, sure. I'm all right.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry for that.
Okay. All right. Continue, Pastor.
Yeah, so I was saying they also feel obligated that they have to turn down something. For example, I'll give you practically. If in another person's point of view, you are working for an Adventist radio station, and then a secular station was going to give you maybe a higher pay, and they would tell you you have to maybe work on the Sabbath, you'd feel, I think I cannot do this. I cannot get that offer. Why? Because I know what the Bible dictates for me as regards my work. I'm supposed to be resting on the Sabbath and the like. And so I would rather stay with this, for lack of a better term, low-paying job, because I feel I'm doing a service to God.
Mm.
So you can see how priorities are also kind of, I don't know if I can say, are informed from that kind of perspective, because you feel if I leave this job and if I don't do this, then it means that I'm doing God a disservice.
We're talking about spiritual burnout in people who are not pastors. How does that happen?
So like, again, I say there's some people who are in the forefront of service. Like you, in your case, what you're doing is ministry. So I'll give an example. Again, that example, in case it didn't fit your criteria or your scratch or itch, there are some people who are in service. They have been pouring out, but there's no one to pour in into them. Given an example, someone who is known to be a prayerful person, they are the ones praying for people. They are going through a situation of their own. But it seems while they pray for others, God answers those prayers. But they themselves are struggling to get married. They themselves are struggling to get a job. They themselves are struggling to keep their marriage. They themselves are struggling to have a child. But when they pray for others, God is answering prayers through them. That may also cause spiritual exhaustion, because it's like, God, I'm now sick and tired. Is it that you hear the intercessory prayers, but you can't hear my own personal prayers? You can see that distinction. Someone can be exhausted. They feel, I think, let me give up. Let me give in. Let me throw in the towel. Let me tap out. So people get spiritually exhausted, even though they may not be in ministry full time, but they are ministering in another category. They are not a pastor. They're not a reverend, they're not a bishop, not a prophet, but they are exhausted in that it seems things are not working out the way they are supposed to. Like it was also with Elijah. Again, I'm referring to him.
In the case of a lay person, why I can understand why a pastor will not talk about his own spiritual burnout. But why would a pastor not talk about another person's spiritual burnout? I'm asking this now because the impression that I get is ministers are supposed to minister. If there is a need to minister to a person who is spiritually burnt out and to prevent burnout, why would you avoid doing what you're supposed to be doing? That's your calling, isn't it?
I think maybe try to phrase that properly for me to answer it well. I didn't quite get it.
If I, who am not a pastor, am at risk of spiritual burnout, why would you, as a pastor, avoid talking to me about my risk of spiritual burnout?
Okay, so maybe one reason or two is that maybe pastors as well, some of the pastors do not know what spiritual burnout looks like, because they themselves are there. It's like you're diagnosing a condition to somebody, which you also have. But how can you identify it in another person when you also have it? Because you don't know how it looks like, in that you have it, but then you are refusing to accept that this is where I am. Okay? That's number one. Number two is that maybe these things are not talked about, like we are talking about them now. So it's somehow not so much a topic that we can discuss. And then others, they feel when you admit spiritual burnout, it's like you are confessing to a retardation in your spiritual stance, announcing what you believe in, because you're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to be a woman of faith. You're supposed to call things which are not as though they are, and all those kind of things, and they can quote verses for you. So when you admit defeat, it's like you are categorized as an unbeliever. And so they feel, let's not get to that point of admission. I think let's just push ourselves. For the love of Christ compels me, and all those kind of things.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Pastor. Appreciate your time once again. Let's do this once again tomorrow. Looking forward to tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Brother Mfundisi.
Sure.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.